Welcome back, everyone, to another Eats Beat podcast, the most delicious podcast in the Metroplex. I'm Bud Kennedy.
And Steve Wilson.
We're talking with Mary Pettis today from Enchiladas Ole. We were just saying off the air that Enchiladas Ole maybe has brought back mole. So there are a lot of restaurants with mole around Fort Worth. But Enchiladas Ole, which has always been known for its rich, thick sauces, has a mole sauce. And that's now one of your best-selling enchiladas, right?
Yes, we sell out of mole almost every night.
Now, how did you start? Enchiladas Ole is like famous for enchilada sauces. How did you start that? And then which are your best-selling sauces now?
Well, our best-selling sauce is a hatch sauce with the green chilies from New Mexico that we bring. We use about 8,000 pounds a year.
And that's kind of hot.
It's very hot. Well, yeah. not too hot. I tone it down a little bit, make it like a gravy sauce. But
yeah,
it's the hottest sauce. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a favorite.
But then now you worked in mole because you had the hatch green chili and then you had the really rich, thick, do I call it a chipotle adobo chili sauce?
That's the ancho.
The ancho sauce is like if you really like old timey enchiladas that had a really thick chili gravy. I tell people if you have been looking for the enchiladas that you remember like you were a kid, Enchiladas Ole is where you go. So you've always had those thick sauces. Yeah. Everybody else is doing tacos and taquerias. What made you want to be the queen of enchiladas?
Queen of enchiladas? Yeah. I believe because I love enchiladas, and I think that they've never gotten like their fair share of fame, enchiladas, you know. And enchiladas, whenever growing up, that was like, it was a treat to have enchiladas, you know what I'm saying? So it was, I just thought I could do enchiladas and do them well. Just with different sauces. So that's why I chose us.
You started off with the sauces, right? I mean, you look retail.
Backwards from everybody. Instead of a restaurant first and then, you know, possibly going into retail, I started with retail first. And we were doing fantastic. We were in Central Markets, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth. We were just going into Kroger. And I decided to open a restaurant thinking that I could do both. Well, you know, one's a monster, one's a beast, right? So I had to pick which one I was going to do. But now that we're 7 years into the restaurant and I had to let go of retail like 3 years ago, Renfro's Manufacturing is now working with us and we will be heading into Walmart's, HEB's by the fall of this year. We'll be in
with your hot sauces, enchilada sauces?
Enchilada sauces.
Enchiladas Ole, enchilada sauces will be in the stores?
Yeah, we'll have a whole product line by the fall.
That's how you started like selling out of your car trunk or something, right?
Yeah, from home, yeah. Well, I started at home, but yeah. They went to a commercial kitchen and then, yeah.
How long is that? Our guest is Mary Pettis from Enchiladas Ole. It's in its new location on Forest Park Boulevard at Park Hill near the zoo in Fort Worth. You really set for the fall and you know, the people coming back to the zoo, people coming back to school. And of course now open every day. The old location was not open every day. The Enchiladas Ole now is open every day with a big patio and a big open air dining area. Mary, I mean, people who just know you from this new location, tell everybody a little bit about how you got here. You were selling out of your trunk 10 years ago.
Well, I wouldn't say out of my trunk. When I had the idea of the enchilada sauce, the first place I went to was the corporate office for Central Market in Plano, because I thought if I can sell to Central Market, I can get into other stores. So that was actually my first, that was my first order with Central Markets. So, and that's because this is an old Mexican recipe, the savory sauce. If you go to El Paso, it's the same sauce everywhere. You know, there's no tomato sauce in it. It's just an old recipe, but you know, so I kind of just went with it and it was great and then came up with the verde sauce and now we'll have the hatch sauce, we'll have a ranchero sauce, and so we'll have four products that will be coming out in the fall that Renfro's is producing for us that will be in retail.
Mole is hard to bottle
and we're going to leave that exclusive to the restaurants. Mole.
Okay. Yeah.
What are the dishes? You expanded the menu a lot with your new location. And what are some of the things you have? Are you still on a limited menu or are you on full menu now?
We're full menu. We're full menu curbside, takeout, and dining. inside.
And dine in, and you have a patio dining, and you have a few tables inside, but more people dine on the patio than inside.
Oh, yeah, more people dine. But, you know, as it's getting hotter, people are coming inside. But in the evenings, people want to be, you know, outside. And I have Nicole here with me, and she runs, helps run. She's the manager for the front of the house, which we've had to make a lot of adjustments. You know, if you're in restaurants before COVID, you know, and you're full swing going and blowing and going with all your orders, and then you got to call in or you got a to-go order, it kind of like puts the brake on everything, you know. It turned around on us to where curbside was everything, you know, for the last 2 or 3 months. And so we've had to readjust how we do everything in the kitchen. And it's been a learning process for everybody, for all of us. But you know what? We managed to get, at first when we started doing curbside, I mean, we probably got the most complaints during that time because it was hard to get that and get used to that. Now, I'm sure every restaurant that did that or that's been doing that has gone through the same thing. But now after we have to retrain ourselves of how we do everything, the whole process, all the processes. And now that we, when we started to add in the dining, the 25%, it was a little difficult to get used to both. Then we went to the 50%. It was a little more difficult, but you know, we're learning as we go through this. It's all new restaurant models for everybody. So.
Well, a lot of the big change was taking orders and having online orders and takeout orders coming in. And a lot of restaurants, particularly Tex-Mex restaurants, got overwhelmed. There would be a bunch of people want big takeout orders at the same time they were trying to get plates out of the dining room.
Yeah.
It was a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. And we got, you know, and unfortunately, you know, there's sometimes people would, even though they called in orders, we're talking about online ordering. So, you know, the machine never stops rolling, right? And because a lot of restaurants were still closed. We're talking about 30, 40% of restaurants still closed. And the ones of us that stayed in, well, we're overwhelmed with all of the orders and stuff. But we stuck with it and we learned through it. And thankful to our wonderful customers that you know, had patience and mercy on us to get through this. So that's, and here we are.
Well, what's been going through your mind the last couple of months? Because you opened your new location just before all this started. Was there ever a time when you were scared? It seems like you've just been so busy, just kind of dealing with whatever comes next.
Yeah, I mean, we just take it week by week as to what the governor is saying, or every 2 weeks or however that is. And we just had to just go with it. I mean, we put a lot of money into this location. We closed down for those first 2 weeks, and then we had to reopen, you know. I mean, there's nothing else we could do. We have too much of an investment in here. So we just went with it, and we learned it, and we survived it, and we're doing good. We're doing so good that we're actually opening number two in like 90 days, depending on training, on the corner of Tarrant Parkway and Davis Boulevard. Enchiladas Ole number two will be opening in North Richland Hills.
What's that going to be like?
Okay, so Forest Park is a neighborhood kind of situated, and that is very commercial. Across the street is Whataburger and Chick-fil-A. So we're going into, again, uncharted territory, but, you know, around there in the vicinity, probably the only authentic type of family style run restaurant, you know. So I think that we're going to do fabulous. I think people in North Richland Hills are going to welcome us, and we're close to Colleyville and South Lake, and I think it'll be fantastic for Enchiladas Ole, and we get to create more jobs, hire more people, and it's just it's just wonderful. We're excited about it.
Do you have a lot of customers from up that way who come down? Have you like tracked to see where your customers come from and maybe have a restaurant there?
We do. We get a lot of customers from all, you know, from that area, North Richland Hills, Haltom City, Watauga, and stuff like that. So it's a lot closer for them. So we think that it will help relieve some of the wait lines that we have here at Forest Park, possibly, or, you know, it's a whole new population over there. We'll just see when we open how crazy it'll be.
Where in North Richland Hills is it?
North Richland Hills, yes. It is right on the corner of, it's a closed down, it was a Slim's Chicken building that has been empty for over a year. So we just got the lease on it. So that's where we'll be, right on the corner of Davis Boulevard, 9005 Tarrant Parkway Boulevard is the actual address.
Okay.
North Tarrant Parkway. So it's kind of between So between Precinct Line and Davis, it's very close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's in that little corner there. And well, she mentioned the Whataburger and the Chick-fil-A. So people know where that little strip of restaurants is.
Yes. Yes.
Well, now you're going to be serving your same menu. Do you have fajitas or not have fajitas? I know that you were going to add fajitas.
We have chicken fajitas for curbside, you know, with beef going in the prices that it has been. We do not do beef fajitas. We're doing just the chicken right now. And it's part of the family meal curbside to go, the family meals to go.
Steve, what do you get? Do you just get mole when you go? I mean, the last time I was there, I got a chicken mole enchilada and a chicken hatch chili enchilada. And it was a great lunch. And I went with somebody who, frankly, likes to go to a different Southside restaurant.
Okay.
Nearby, up on Park Place or Magnolia. And she, at enchilada the lady, she said, wow, this is really good. And so, I think people are really getting excited about the Southside enchiladas of life.
I get the one you get three different types. That way I'm just not stuck with one.
I like three different sauces.
The curry you have in the chicken is like interesting. It's a little different than you see in other places.
The curry and the turmeric, yeah. It's my mother was from Spain, so she used different spices. So I kind of blend some things together. And if you don't like that mixture, you can just order smoked chicken, whatever you like. And you can always ask for a sample and try it. And I encourage people to ask for a sample of the sauces so they can try them before they order their enchiladas. We're good with that.
Mary, I know you post about going to breakfast at Dos Molinas, a little hole in the wall up and on 25th. What do you hear from the other little Tex-Mex restaurants and the other little family restaurants? How are they making it? How are they doing? What's been the shared experience that you heard from other restaurants?
Yeah, well, Amy's, Amy and I are good friends.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she just reopened, she's...
That's in the 1500 block of North Main,
yes.
Next to Los Asaderos.
Next to Los Asaderos, yeah. And, just everybody, you just gotta... I mean, we stuck with the curbside. We started it. Not everybody did curbside, and a lot of that has to do with location and stuff, but everyone has struggled. And, it's kind of heartbreaking that sometimes driving somewhere and you see lines and lines and lines at
drive-throughs,
and then you got your mom and pops and people like us that are just trying to keep all of our employees paid and trying to just keep going, so if people would just please consider supporting locally owned restaurants, it would help everybody. And there's so many of my friends that have restaurants that have really struggled, and everybody has struggled through this thing, but we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel already. People are getting out. People are coming in to eat, whether it's inside or they want to be outside. We built a patio just for customers who didn't want to come in the building, and we're good. We built that patio in like 3 days. So the patios are here to stay. And we're going to add fans, and we're going to add misters, and we're going to make it as comfortable as possible for the patios, at both locations.
I think people would need that, and people will continue to sit on the patio this summer. What I see from customers is that a lot of families with children still don't want to go in restaurants. They don't want to expose children. And then, of course, a lot of seniors over 65 don't want to go inside a restaurant. But I think just about everybody is okay with eating on a patio if people are pretty spread out. So if it's comfortable, people enjoy that.
Yeah, and curbside, curbside is still phenomenal. People still want to pick up and go home and eat at home, and that's fine. I believe curbside is here to stay.
Steve, have you gone and had any of the takeout drinks? The TABC has allowed so much new takeaway liquor and cocktail mixers. Steve, have you been able to do that?
No, I actually am not allowed to drink alcohol right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Steve's getting better, everybody. We're glad to have him here.
I mean, that's not because I had a problem with it.
Yeah.
It's a health thing.
Well, our to-go margaritas, half gallons and full gallons, we follow all the TABC rules, and it's slowed down a little bit now, but it's the sales have been fantastic. And you know what? I believe that's really helped so many restaurants to just stay level.
I think the government said it might, they might keep that after everything opens back up, which would be nice.
I think people would like to see that and see some general loosening of the liquor laws and try to support restaurants and to support small local independent restaurants as much as they can.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, you told us about your new restaurant. You have a new line of retail sauces coming back to the stores. And you have the enchiladas Olay that you've opened at Park Hill and Forest Park at lunch. Is it lunch and dinner weekends and Saturdays and lunch on Sundays? Is that right?
Yeah, Sundays we close. It's 12 to 5 right now, Sundays. And that's because we're still family, friend owned family. Now we've all, new partners and we've all become friends, but we still have our staff and everybody needs a break, and Sundays is like a day that we close early and go home. Monday, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, our hours are 11 to 8, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, 11 to 9.
And you mentioned your mother's from Spain. I didn't know that, but you're from Fort Worth. You know everybody here. You've been here a long time.
Oh, I've been here all my life. My mother was from Spain. My father was stationed in France where he met my mom, and he was working in France and brought her back. So I grew up with a lot of saffrons and cumin, and just different recipes.
You worked in youth agencies before you opened Enchiladas Olay. Is that right? In the kind of the...
Yeah, 23 years before I started my business. And actually the whole idea of Enchiladas Olay came when I was working at JPS in the marketing department. Our department would compete with other departments to raise money for American Cancer and Heart Society and stuff like that. So my idea was to sell enchiladas, and it was a big hit. And from there, my friends encouraged me to bottle my enchilada sauce, and that's where I made the appointment at the Plano Central Market corporate office, and walking in 30 minutes, got an order for 7 stores. So it's phenomenal. It's just been a blessing. And, then I decided to do restaurant, and then I wasn't sure what possessed me to do that, but.
you have so much experience with youth agencies and social agencies. I mean, what do you think the country needs now? What do you think Fort Worth needs now with where we are and where we're going?
I'll tell you what I've always seen, just in nonprofits. And I think that I'll give a plug to the Tara Area Food Bank, because I think that they have a program that, they've worked with. And I think that when I was in the nonprofits, mainly Boys and Girls Club, is that not all youth are going to go to college. Not all youth can. And I think that we need a lot more training. And I think culinary training, schools for youth or even for ex-offenders, there's got to be more training for, and I think that the kitchen and restaurant is so big. It's such a big industry, and that we could never hire enough people to work in restaurants, even though, there's people come and go. Okay. It's a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. It's rough. And, so people come and go, and I believe that there's a lot of opportunities, and I see that there is a program at the Tarrant Area Food Bank. I think that there's a lot of improvement, a lot of expansion, and I'm hoping that I can talk with my great friend John Bonnell and some other chefs, and maybe we jump on board to offer internships in our restaurants to some of these people that graduate from that class, and just help to make life a little easier and pass on our skills and our knowledge and where we're at. I think that could be a future thing for Fort. That would be phenomenal.
Steve, I'm going to reinforce Tarrant Area Food Bank. You see a lot of promotion and publicity about North Texas Food Bank. North Texas Food Bank is for Dallas and Plano. Tarrant Area Food Bank is for Fort Worth, Flower Mound, everything west of 35 East. So Tarrant Area Food Bank is what we work for.
And Manny is the executive chef there who teaches that class. And I think that's very admirable, because you could be working in a restaurant, building your own fame or your own whatever portfolio in a restaurant, and instead you choose to teach other people life skills, a life skill that could, make it be a career. So I think that a lot of us restaurant owners, that we could also, like I said, offer internships and work with this organization or work with them on placing, job placement and stuff like that. So, I think that's a big program that needs to be enhanced and worked on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, your food bank and they don't realize that he actually trained chefs and stuff, the people that be in go into the food industry.
Yep. You know, when I started my restaurant, I didn't know I wasn't a chef. Now, I do feel like when I was at the Boys and Girls Clubs and we had a commercial kitchen and I was cooking for 300 kids a day, little did I know 20 years earlier that I would be doing this. So I feel like I was in training all that time, you know, as part of the master's plan, right? So, you know, but when I opened my restaurant, there was so much that I didn't know. And it's not just the kitchen, but the front of the house, which is just as important as the back of the house. Your food can be phenomenal. If you get crappy service, well, you know, that just kind of ruins the food, right? Or the dining experience. And then there's a business part of it that I think is all should be part of that model. So I don't know. I just think there's that Fort Worth can lead in that, you know?
Mary Pettis, thank you very much. Passionate about her community, passionate about her city, and most of all, passionate about her enchiladas. We really appreciate Mary Pettis from Enchiladas Olay, our guest today on the Eat Speak podcast. Until next time, I'm Bud Kennedy.
Thank you. Bye, Bud. Have a great
Thank you. It was really good.